Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame starting May 7th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Deckheads, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Deckheads with your hosts, Nick and Anna, broadcasting from the bottom of the boat, below deck.
Ooh, I'm horny.
All yacht talk all the time.
I'm having a party.
We're shoveling coal to keep this show afloat.
I love cocaine.
We're off the map in international waters.
I need some drama.
Hide that cocaine.
Never.
In my nose.
Just so you know, I'm in an open relationship.
Below deck.
Woo!
Below me.
What?
Deckhead.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Oh, I'm living my best life.
It is good to talk to you. I love just putting on my natural voice and just having a normal conversation with my friend.
That's right. We don't even record these. These are just talks.
We were doing this show for years before we were told about podcasting.
Yeah, we were just talking to each other on webcam.
I've got DVs full of conversations we've had just waiting to be released.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bury them. They're buried in the backyard, but I'll dig them.
In case the apocalypse hits.
I want the aliens. Well, I guess why would I bury it? Got a lot to think about.
All right, guys. Well, you heard it here first. This is Deckheads. We believe in aliens.
What the?
Wait, I feel like we had a different conversation on this exact show where you were trying to potentially convince me that there are no aliens.
Well,
oh no, you were trying to tell me there are no ghosts.
I don't. Okay, there are definitely no ghosts. Aliens. I think that's something that's for the future to figure out.
Okay.
I don't have any strong opinions on whether the aliens exist. I do have strong opinions on whether we've encountered them, and I don't think we have.
Mm. Okay. Well,
back at 11.
Back at 11. Alien talk with Nick and Anna. What do we become, alien heads?
11 is too early for that show.
So, yeah. Okay. This is Deckheads. I'm Anna. That's Nick. Great Nick. GR Nick, as we discussed in the previous episode. And this is season 8. Episode 11 of Below Deck, and we are joined by our first ever returning guest. That's right. We ran out of people to ask, okay? Wow. 11 episodes in, no one else for some reason in our group of friends watches Below Deck. What the fuck? Anyway, if you guys know
this
anyone...
This is an odd intro. I feel like you should celebrate the fact that we have the incredible Miles Gray
That's
in the
right.
house
Miles
again.
Gray is here.
How lucky everybody is. You take it again.
No, no, no. That was a perfect intro. You guys know Miles Gray from Daily Zeitgeist, 420 Day Fiancé, my boy, my best friend, not return necessarily, Miles Gray.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always lovely to be on a show with Nick Turner, a great friend of mine and an acquaintance of mine. Always love to talk about this show. Nick, really, really love the conversations
well,
we have.
Man, I'm so excited
those.
To have
that
you
That could be
here.
A podcast.
Yeah, yeah absolutely. Yeah. Hey, Anna, why don't you go get us some treats?
Yeah, I'll go get you guys some treats. I'm not even the Wait, same place as you, but I'll go run some
Are y'all
some
that
treats.
Shocked that people don't, or people watch Below Deck? I feel like everybody watches
Dude,
Below
no
Deck.
Dude, no one that we,
on
I mean.
On some level.
We haven't.
I don't know. I think we're also, our brains are rotted by TV.
Look, so. I'm going to be honest with you. Mm. I don't live in this Bravo City? World oh. that I think most other people who watch this show live in.
Oh yeah, me either. I only watch this of the yeah. Bravo verse. I've only watched this and only recently Salt Lake City Housewives.
Sure, you're that, getting like, in with I've the missed, new one.
Yeah, I've always been an OG deck below deck god, uh-huh. but and then Real Housewives of Atlanta, New Jersey, Orange County for the most part, but not the last couple of years. But yeah, this is the one consistent Bravo. Show that I give it up for Andy Cohen. Not What's, for Andy else? Cohen. I give it up to Andy Cohen for producing it.
So this is, would we say this is the number two franchise over there?
I don't,
Is there something bigger than Below Deck? And, you know, I mean, besides Real Housewives, which is obviously.
Housewives, I think, sucks up all the oxygen.
Yeah. Really. Well, it's just so funny. Like when we have guests so on, you know, other than you, it will quite often turn into a, you know, a, like lots of Real Housewives discussion. And then, mm-hmm. you know, I shut off and I actually climb into a coffin that I have set up.
Turn into a bat later. Yes. And no.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I love, this is just, it feels like the other side of the financial coin.
Yeah, yeah.
As it were.
People laboring. It's a show about people yes. laboring. I think
and
that's
just,
the difference.
Just getting fired. It's people at the bottom just getting shit on. And that's what people need to see. That's reality.
That's what it's like to work for tips, huh?
Yeah. Oh. I you know, I'm a Housewives person, but I've definitely fallen off a few Housewives because of the turn. I think the more radicalized I've become, the less intrigued I've been by these shows. But I do like how fresh and new the Salt Lake City is. But I will say, I think I'm just a below decker for the most part now. I just enjoy it so much.
I think that's fair. That's the one that's consistent. Because again, it's relatable. I think that's the one thing. Like there's escapism that's offered by like watching wealthy people just fight and throw champagne at each other.
Right.
And then there's another one where it's like, man, my fucking coworkers bullshit and they be fucking in my bunk. And like, you're like, yeah, okay. I know these things. I know these troubles and concerns. I don't know what it's like to launch my off-white rip-off fashion line that with my, you know, codependent relationship I have with my mother, like on Salt Lake City. But that's a whole other show.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to get my coffin ready. Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay.
Blow
well,
the nails off of it.
Let's get into this episode. So usually we ask the top three questions, you know, what's your favorite season? When did you star? Who's your favorite contestant? But we've already done that with you.
We've done that. We've done that.
So we're just going to get right into it because I can't think of a single other question to ask you.
Let's dive in like Dolores.
Oh, well. Actually, I want to put out another shout out. If you know any information about Dolores Jetski, as we call her, the jet ski racer, please let us know because we're dying to know what her deal is. In the last episode, guest Kate Raft said she probably was some like hot 80s jet skier. And we just need to know more about Dolores, okay? So if you have any information, please submit it to me directly or email it to us at deckheadspod@gmail.com or DM us on one of our two social media platforms.
Oh, yo, I got this shit right here.
What's up?
Dolores. Her name is Dolores Flora. Okay, she is from Sausalito, baby.
I told you. Didn't I tell you, Nick? I told you these fools because they are from Petaluma. I said these bitches cannot get into the SF fucking yacht club. They are Sausalito yacht club people if I've ever seen them.
Wow.
I didn't know what you meant.
Bay Area yacht club. I called that last week because I know my SF yacht club people, and that's a 9-year wait list to get into the San Francisco yacht club. These people ain't getting
in. What do you think she does for a living? Based on her LinkedIn.
Wasn't she a jet ski racer?
Well, I mean, in a past life, but that ain't paying the bills recently. I don't know if you saw the plandemic that's going around.
Oh, no. I'm going to
say senior data entry.
Okay. Anna, what do you think she does?
I bet she's like the manager of a Lowe's.
Okay. Reiki?
No, she's actually an independent graphic design professional per her LinkedIn. Yeah, graduated from Cerritos College in Norwalk. Uh-huh. Okay. And she has experience as a consultant and animal supply manager at Martin Brothers Supply.
I told you, Lowe's.
Wait, so she's an independent freelance design. Wait.
Yeah.
So I would love to see like a big sign that's like how many days it's been since she opened Photoshop.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That'd be
something. It's been 89 days since I'm not really working.
Her son is also a mixed media artist. So just a lot of artistic stuff. And people say based on her Facebook, she refers to her, quote, inner Italian a lot.
Mixed media art, that's like when you go to a modern art museum, that's the stuff that's happening in between the different exhibits you're trying to go to.
So how
like
does
you
got to
walk
a
through
boat?
A room just of screaming sounds. Nah, that's that guy.
It's not always mixed media, if I may be an art snob for one moment, Nick.
All right, you can be an art snob.
I need to understand how this woman can afford a boat.
I don't know. I mean, look, who knows what she got? Look, I don't
know. She didn't buy the boat. She had primary. She's married.
She has a boat called the Alice Ann.
Yeah, remember, because they're all boat owners. That's the whole
idea.
Well,
they don't all have to own a boat. That's it's true. Probably like her dead husband owned a boat or something. Wow. She's just, this is where her social group, you know, it's a social group for rich people. They don't necessarily all have to be like working their boats every day.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I would love to.
Like at
to
the
know
country
more.
Club, all those fat old rich ladies aren't, you know, going out and playing tennis afterwards, rolling themselves
I'm sorry,
out.
Sorry, you
there.
Say fat old rich ladies? Jesus Christ, Nick. Anyway, I've been to the Sausalito Yacht Club, and let me just say, it's a bunch of lushes, honey. Everyone is wasted. Like, it's sense. Just like drunk town. They should call it Drunk Town USA. I guess all yacht clubs, because once you enter, everyone's just like, woo!
Yeah, or like vineyards. I went like a couple of times I went to like Napa around there and saw like that there was definitely just a culture of like people who go to get shit-faced at a vineyard, like as their normal thing. I was like, damn, that's like some other shit, man. Like when that's part of your routine, like Sunday, vineyard, rosé, vomit on my driver.
Yeah, yeah. So I had a friend whose parents owned a sailing boat that was that is probably still at the Sausalito Yacht Club. So I have some experience, and I am curious if I ever came across Dolores now that I think about it. Probably not, because I only went there a few times, and I definitely did not speak to anyone.
Okay. Well, I would dust off your photos. Family. Maybe you have a photo of her, like, diving. Like,
no, because the few times I went, like, I was eating edibles. Like, there was one experience where, you know, you accidentally went and you got way too high, and then all of a sudden the boat's tipping because it's a sailboat, and you're like, I think I dropped my Diet Coke off the board. So anyway, that was my that's a true story. Wow. So if I did come across Dolores, I was like, this bitch is wasted. All right. So Below Deck Season 8, Episode 11, we continue with Captain Lee being pissed that Dolores Yetsky jumped off the boat into the water. And he is telling the other guests, God damn it. This goddamn charter is over. You can't do that. She is drunk. She is drunk and she broke the rules. And Dolores is drunk ass. And they're all wide eyed being like, I was told I could go swimming. To which I'm like, ooh, I'm sorry. This is a TV show, honey. We have the footage.
I do love that Hail Mary of just like, maybe they'll believe it. It's worth saying. I mean, I'm off the boat.
Really popular theme we're seeing in reality. Yeah. In the news too of like, oh, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that thing I did. I don't know. Did I do that? I'm pretty sure it was okay. I was told I could.
Yeah, I did not jump off. I fell off after Captain Lee kissed me.
Oh my God. I fell off to avoid Captain Lee's advances.
Captain Lee set my dress on fire, and it was the only way I could extinguish the flames.
She went for it, and everyone around her is like, no, no, no. We were all basically yelling, do not jump off the boat. Also, the way she jumped was basically to just like kind of like meow, like fall.
Yeah, it's like, a little odd.
But she also seemed to have it under control.
Did it also seem like Dolores didn't have one actual friend in the group?
Dolores was the one that they're like, all right, we need one more person to afford this trip. And Dolores stumbled into the room with a glass of champagne.
Yeah, they're like, I should not have put it on the message board that anyone could come. I'm so stupid.
The group turned on her pretty quick.
Oh, they didn't even turn. I don't even think they were with her.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's just sort of like, yeah, I guess that's Dolores. But I don't know. I'm glad that at least Captain Lee screamed about it, because that was just, it was something about that, the whole energy of her, like from the last episode into this one, of like, yo, can't tell Dolores fucking nothing. And Captain Lee, I'm sure, on top of being a captain, I don't think he's the kind of man who likes to have a woman be insubordinate in front of him too. So I think there was multiple levels of Captain Lee that were, I was like, that's it, god damn it.
Yeah.
You're getting the fuck off.
Well, he said,
women are princesses.
This bullshit.
Well, he was like, to directly defy a captain is a big no-no.
Yeah, on a boat. Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. So news is spreading of Dolores's, you know, jump into the water. And Rachel says that Dolores is dilligaffed. She's dilligaffing all over the boat, which means, does it look like I give a fuck? Which I'm like, Rachel should have her own spinoff. Or we just listen to her cooking. Yes.
It takes so long to describe what dillygaff is. I don't know if it's helpful.
Does it look like I give a fuck? I like it.
It reminds me, I worked with someone who would use those acronyms like so, like integrated it into their like speech all the time that is infuriating. Or like they would do some bullshit. I was like, dude, I don't know. IDGAF, dude. You know, honestly. And I was immediately brought back to that instance when I kept hearing saying dilligaffing around.
Like, that's a lot. That's a choice to constantly speak like that. Like, it's fine in situations where you're like, that woman jumped off the boat multiple times after the captain insisted she didn't. I would argue that's a dilligaff versus like, you know, constantly just, if I was like, honestly, Miles, like dilligaff when I'm like out here partying, like, you know, like, I don't, that was a horrible example. But
right. No, but that's how you would say it. And I would be like, no, it even the way you speak dilligaff doesn't look like you do dilligaff.
That's something you have to explain literally every time you say it.
Yeah.
Right, right. Nobody's, unless you watch Below Deck, you're going to be like, oh, you're talking about Rachel? Yeah, dilligaff, yeah.
Yeah, but I do think...
Well, idigaff, baby.
Yeah.
Idigaff, yeah. Rachel is a one-woman show. Like, she's just, like, barreling through life. I mean, does she need a sponsor in AA? Yeah, probably. But until then, I'm more than happy to watch her destroy all her relationships, except she's like, Vincenzo's.
She's like, you watch some shows, and everyone on the show is just ripped. And then at never any point in the show does anyone ever go to the gym, you know? You're like,
right, right.
How? We're just supposed to ignore that these
the
people
whole time?
Spend 5 hours a day in the gym and we don't talk about it. That's what I feel like with her cooking. Like, every time she makes something, everyone's like, this is the single greatest thing. Nothing's ever been wrong. No one's ever said a negative word about her cooking. And then they just like, it's just not a part of the show.
Yeah.
They don't talk about it.
Typically, like, there's an element of the show which is like panic in the fucking in the galley because whether it's what's his name, Kuko or Kiko, whatever, my boy from
Kiko.
Brazil who absolutely, you know, biffed it in the last one, like that at least gives him a through line. And with this, I guess they're just replacing her, like, just, you know, hyper competence as a chef with, yo, she's out here a mess when she drinks and make y'all cringe out of your skin with how she behaves. So that's the balance, I guess.
It's like the most talented person we've ever seen on this show. And her story is that she's crazy and she curses too much, drinks.
Right.
That's disappointing.
I love it. Hey,
but
ladies.
That's like any good chef, you know, like they drink like you wouldn't
remember
believe.
Ben?
You know what I mean?
Chef
Party
Ben
City.
Literally was like pants off, dick out, on the deck.
Dilligaffin.
Dilly Gaffin.
Dilly Gaffin. Okay.
That's perfect. Yes.
Anyway, so Captain Lee is still fuming. He's like, hey, yeah, God. He's walking around in the bridge being like, get yourself together. Get it together. Calm down, man. Oh, my God. I'm going to fucking kill everybody. I swear to God, I will drive this boat straight into the water.
I'll pull this fucking yacht over right now.
Yeah. And he basically decides that Dolores can't be trusted. So someone needs to be watching her door all night in case she gets to or she decides just to drunkenly get up and go back for another swim. And the crew is not happy because now they have to literally like take shifts to watch her. I would be so pissed. Also, like, she was drunk and passed out. I can't imagine that she would get back up and swim. But hey, you never know with old Dolly D.
Yeah, I mean, insurance liability, that's when you really don't fuck. I mean, like, as Captain, like, I just can't have a fucking fatality on this boat. So watch it. Go on your iPhone. Even if you have COVID, maybe. Who knows? Do you know?
What a waste a watch that everyone had to stay up. Everyone had to get up for an hour. What a waste of time. Performative.
Yeah, it didn't feel... I mean, I guess on one hand, right, like if truly you can't have drunk motherfuckers just hopping off the boat in the middle of the night and not knowing what happened to them. But yeah, at the other time, it felt, is Dolores a paid actor? You know what I mean? Or do you have Dolores truthers out there?
Huh.
You know, like she was there to just spice up a seemingly boring charter.
God, you're right. I mean, after she leaves, it's just a bunch of like jars of mayonnaise at the table.
Yeah, it's nothing. There was nothing.
There's nothing. You might as well not even have a charter. You just go, here's food. Okay, bye.
Yeah, the rest was like about how fucking homegirl and James is like just sex stinked. That was like the biggest inflection point or something that was like of note rather than anything to do with the guests. It's like, oh, they like to ride horses and this woman isn't good. This woman is obviously not a jet ski expert. Those are like the few things I could that like stuck out in my head about the guests that in the light tip, you know, who knows?
You know, they're just sitting at the yacht club, just talking about how they want unity right now.
That's what Dolores is saying when they get back. Y'all, come on. I mean, let's not divide the yacht club even more.
Dolores was at
what's
the
done
Capitol.
Is done.
What's done Look, is done.
You obviously, know, I regret it.
I honestly, and what I did was totally appropriate if you think about it. But let's not get into that because
I wouldn't do it again. I am going to do it at the local level on January 20th, but I wouldn't do it again after that.
Not nationally.
That's like everyone, no matter what, just being like, this person was at the Capitol.
Yeah.
There's a character on The Bachelor, Queen Victoria, that was just outed as a Trump supporter because she took a selfie with a clear Trump flag in the background. And everyone's like, oh, this bitch, she is so out of control on The Bachelor. She was at the Capitol. You know, like everyone just looking through photos to accuse her of being at the Capitol. But anyway, Dolores has
It would be fun to take all of your least favorite cast members of Below Deck.
And like and cross-reference.
Photoshop them into
Photoshop them.
Photo facial recognition technology.
Yeah, that does look like that one guy from the episode, the one who kept creeping on Simone, the little like rat fuck who kept creeping on Simone. Oh, and he was just like, if you don't vote for Trump, you don't get to come to my next yacht trip. The frat team bros. Anyway.
Oh, that's what they said?
Yeah, he made a joke.
That was the
one
who like grabbed her, right? He like picked her up and shit.
No. This guy, he was like kind of on the scrawnier side, but he kept creeping on her. Like he kept being like, I'd marry you, Simone. I'd marry you. And she was like, okay, please take me off service. Okay. But he could have
so supported.
He's one of the ones where I was like, was he there? But anyway, enough of that. It's sad. We laugh, but it's fucking sad.
Stay on message, Anna. Below deck. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know. So, yeah, the crew has to stay up in shifts to now watch over Dolores. But James is taking this opportunity to hang out with Elizabeth in their room. And so while Izzy is on Dolores watch, we see James basically convince Elizabeth to come to his room. And what seems to be clear fucking, because we hear what's her name?
We saw fucking.
Well, yeah, we saw fucking, and Elizabeth, her like sex noises are like
Oh, la la.
So.
yeah.
She kept being like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'm totally yeah. feeling this.
The energy in the room? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Put it in the air, James. Put it in the air.
So, yeah. Also, we just see him, like, clearly thrusting.
Oh, yeah. It was... At first, I was like, is he... I'm like, oh, that's his butt hitting the sheet because he's stroking. Wow. But I guess it's funny how, like, they have to create, like, technology to block... Or not technology, just, like, use sheets to obscure the fact that they're having sex in a bunk because, like, no one has any kind of privacy, like, even when they're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's the cameras left and right, all in black and white, night vision. So, James, he's fucking her... Izzy finally comes back from her Dolores watch shift and catches them. And she's like, I just want to sleep, you fucking creeps. So she goes to Elizabeth's bunk. But then Elizabeth comes back and goes, I'm so sorry about that. Like, you can go to bed now. And Izzy's like, hey, James, no more fucking while we're sleeping. And James is like, what? Just a cuddle?
A little bit of a cuddle.
What?
Oh.
So.
The thing that really upset me was the scent.
Ugh, God, I can't.
That home was her name Izzy. When she tried to get in a room, she's like, oh my. When she said it was like a hot, sweaty, manky hostel, I was like, oh,
oh yeah. They really described that.
That's
violent. So
that's a violation.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no window.
Yeah.
Ooh, baby.
3D.
Why'd she even
air?
Go back?
Mm-mm.
Why didn't she just continue sleeping? Elizabeth.
Because Rachel came to her room.
Because it's your own bed. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird to get into someone else's bed. You know what I mean? Because our pheromones and shit, even if you use different soap and shit, you can smell it. You're like, this ain't my fucking bed.
Well, if you want to smell hot anus,
ew,
you can go get in your own bed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But I don't know. I'm hoping that everybody, you know, is okay after that sex session, no matter how hot and muggy it was down there. It just, again, it's really inconsiderate, you know what I mean, to fuck in a room that has no ventilation and someone has to come sleep in there mere moments later. I just find
look
that to be
this
really
should be the rule. If you have sex in a public, you know, semi-public, because they
shared
do know
space.
someone's coming in there, shared space, sure, anyone who is supposed to come is like, you know, anyone who comes in gets to join, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What if
that?
You just want to sleep in a room that doesn't smell like hot asshole?
Ugh,
yeah, well, that's another thing, but you have options, is all I'm
okay.
saying.
Okay. But your only recourse is to join in on the sex, not to any kind of relief from the stench in the air.
No.
Shout out to her description of it smelling feral as well.
You know, it's like if there's a bad fart, all you got to do is fart yourself and then it's fine. Then, you know, it's like, well, who knows what smell that is.
So you walk in and you just start beating off because they're having sex. Like, hey, them's the rules, y'all.
Yes.
Everybody nuts.
Yeah, that's what I did when I was watching
no
it.
No matter what.
That's wild. Also, I don't know if I agree.
Yeah. Part of me still, I mean, well, I'm sorry, the legendary Mr. Cum, your solution is to engage in fucking me. Mom's like, I just don't want it to smell like fuck in here.
Also, yeah, just like sweaty, like pounding, like, oh, God.
If you're doing it right, a lot of rooms in your house are going to smell like fuck, Miles.
Okay. When the dust settles from the fucker, I would love to take a tour of your home.
Great. Yeah. Come on down.
When the dust settles from fucking.
It's underground.
Okay. Hot fucking. Can't you see?
So, okay. It is officially the next day. But before we get into it, let's take a quick commercial break to talk more about the smell of fucking. And then we'll be right back.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Apparently, Nick smells like toast when he's fucking.
Yeah, I think that's you having a stroke. But
no, that's you having a stroke, man. Okay.
No, that's you having a stroke, man.
Whoa.
That's fine. I'll just keep things in my right hand now.
What are we doing? Okay, so it's the next day. Captain Lee has decided that Dolores has to go. God damn it. Jesus Christ, Dolores, you fucking bitch. That's basically his vibe. He hates Dolores. He thinks she's the worst. And he's like, the rest can stay if they rearrange their priorities. Now, when he said this, I thought I was like, what does that mean? Like what they want to do on the trip? Because I don't understand, like, their priorities are not to keep Dolores there. No one gives a fuck about Dolores. Like, they were like, all right, bring the main primaries in. This is going to be a tough conversation. And he's like, sorry, but Dolores has got to go. And they're like, yeah, no, we agree.
Oh, yeah, like, fuck that bitch.
We were going to say to you, even before she jumped in, can you kick her off?
Oh, no, we chopped her ass up. She's in a duffel bag. We can just throw this shit over the side, honestly. She's taken care of. She handled.
Yeah,
we taped her to the jet ski and sent it off into the middle of the
and taped the throttle together. I don't know where the fuck she's at.
Jesus. She's just racing back to the U.S.
Oh, yeah, we zip-tied her to a jet ski and set the shit off. She's on her last ride. Let's put it that way.
But let's just say she wasn't upset.
It's her farewell ride.
She was having it. She was feeling it. But yeah, they basically were so quick to push this woman off the boat. Like, they were like, all right, Dolores, pack your shit and go, you dumb bitch. You'll never yacht with us again.
What'd you think of her interaction, though, when I don't know anybody's name. Who's the main stew, homegirl?
Francesca?
Yeah, Francesca comes down to, like, let her know, right? Because it's like, because they're like, and then we're gonna let her know she has to go. And then when they go down, they tell her, and Francesca has to get really boss up on her. It's like, you know, it's not about, you know, us saying no to people or us denying you pleasure. We say yes as much as we can, but I've seen motherfuckers die from night swimming.
Yeah.
And gives her that. And then she's like, so you have to go. And she was very, like, you know, unequivocal in her telling that. And it was weird the way that Dolores, like, she still had to get her jab. And she's like, okay. Like, when she's like, you have to go, she's like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got it. Like, no,
I like that.
That's fine.
Actually, that was my idea. So you can go. Actually, you should go right now because I already knew I was leaving. Yeah. And what you're saying to me is extra and a waste of my time.
And also what I want is for you to keep my money. Will you keep my money when you send me
off? Keep my money. Okay, and I'm also, fuck you, Brett. I'm not kicking it on tip because this is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was interesting because when he's like, sorry, Dolores, you got to go. The main primary. She's like, I thought we were doing a thing where we weren't going to let people tell us no anymore.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, honey, you've already been living like that. What are you talking about? You are a white woman named Dolores. You ain't taking no from anyone. What are you talking about? And then that's when Francesca's like, well, it's not really the case of not taking no's. And then she gets a dark look in her eyes and she was like, she's like, as the dark piano sad music plays, and she's like, it's a massive safety issue. Hold on, Chase and Ross. It's a massive safety issue. I was on a boat in the south of France. I keep losing it. Chase and Ross. And when one of the Dickens went free diving, we were out there all night searching for him. He was never found. And then it cuts back to reality as she snaps out of it. And Dolores is like, okay.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
I'll pack up. While she's being like, shit. Fuck.
Oh, I forgot her graphics company, Dolores' graphics company, called Home Baby Graphics. Just to put a cherry on that one. Home Baby Graphics.
I was half expecting to be like, never take no for an answer, graphics.
Right.
Home Baby.
You've had enough graphics.
Never enough champagne in my booty hole graphics. All right, Dolores, get the fuck off the boat.
Okay.
Yeah, and so Dolores surprisingly just leaves. She doesn't really make too much of a fuss. But as they're tendering her out, we see a ghost. That's right. We see second engineer Zach. Who, you ask? Yes, one of the apparently disturbingly looking people they refuse to let be seen on this show because he's a fucking nobody. Anyway,
because he has to actually work, or the boat will sink.
Yeah. I just love the idea that they edit so aggressively to make sure these people are not seen if they do not have to be seen. And it's like, it's okay if he walks by in the background and the below deck crews are like, absolutely not. Cut his ass out of there. I don't want to fucking see a goddamn second engineer in the shot. What is this fucking bullshit? Give me a break. And so the only time we get to see poor second engineer Zach is when he has to tender Dolores' ass out of there. And of course, it wouldn't be a Dolores if she didn't jump off the fucking tender.
One last shot.
She's like, one last job.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll tell you what to do. It's like, motherfucker, you already just owned yourself.
Yeah.
And now you're jumping. You're wet.
Yeah.
And you're going to get on your flight looking, whatever. Go back to a baby.
I think she saved it by falling off the second, the tender.
You saved what?
I think she saved face. I think everyone got a much needed moment of levity.
Oh, right. By being like, well, yeah, because everyone laughed. They're like, I can't believe her. She's that dumb.
It's like, this bitch. You guys, stay that way forever.
Wait, was this ever a boat fact y'all did about like how many motherfuckers actually work on a super yacht versus because when you watch the show, you think only 7 people worked on one of these yachts when it's closer to like, 15 or something.
Yeah, well, they show all the people who work on the boat at the beginning of every season that aren't on the show. They'll introduce the engineer, second captain or whatever.
But they never do an interview, right? It's always just like a literally B-roll of them walking by. And they're like, and that's
that's Mario, Dario, and Fario. And it's always like foreign guys who are the first, second, and then like first officer.
And then it's like, no matter what you ask them, they're always like, I drive the boat. Okay, yeah, I guess you can't be on TV.
Yeah. Cool.
Don't have time for this. Sorry.
Did you guys see the little political brouhaha with Captain Lee this week?
No, but I did see he got vaccinated.
He had a bit of a Ted Cruz liking a porn moment. He liked the wrong thing.
What did he like?
And it's caused a bit of a, it's political. Uh-huh. Now, Captain Lee has claimed for a long time to not
be a socialist, right?
Not political in any way. You'll never.
He's on Rose Twitter, I believe.
Yeah. He's on Parler.
no, right. So, facts, probably.
So there's this right-wing conservative TV personality, Siggy Flicker, or whatever. And they posted about a flight to Washington, D.C. today. This was on the 6th. Love patriots so much. America is the home of the free because of the brave. And his account liked this. Now he's being like, I don't know what happened. I'm not political. And everyone's like, well, why did you like it? And you're like, wasn't me. Not political. Huh. It's like, but what's
why'd
the,
you like it?
How what would you, did someone else have your account?
Wasn't me. Fucking hackers. And it's like, stuff. Bet.
The Wait, fuck are you talking about?
So does he follow this person?
It doesn't say that he does.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Well, here's what happened. This fool was on his Discover page. Just saw
he is following her. Yes.
Oh, well, the motherfucker, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he followed her and he liked it.
Hateful that you liked her. You liked, I mean, not her, it. All right, Captain Lee. Look, you're not exactly, you live in Florida.
See, this is what I was talking about, like the Bravo world that I'm not fully in. And I'll always feel on the outside, like as a straight man, I feel like it's not for me, you know?
Right.
Why is that? Ooh.
Whoa. Well, first of all, we all know you're not straight, buddy, but okay, go ahead.
It doesn't need to be ooh. It's not designed for me.
That was me outing you in the sense that Captain Sandy outed Malia. Like, the entire crew knows you're gay.
So it's like, I know that most of the people watching Bravo, I'm assuming, are conservative. Is that safe
I think
to
it's
say?
A wide range. I think there's a lot of...
It's everything. It's like, because you look at all the takes across the internet on it, you're like, fuck, everybody.
Yeah.
So one thing we can all agree on as a nation.
Maybe that's true. Anyway, there's no reason for anyone to look at what happened and not to think, oh, we know a little more about Captain Lee now.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he did
I mean, this
vaccinated.
Is a guy, he's a millionaire. He owns a bunch of businesses. He lives in Florida. He knows other conservatives who own boats. That's his whole world. How on earth would he be a liberal? If he was a liberal, he would say it.
Well, he also got vaccinated. Was like, and his caption was like, "I'm getting vaccinated because I believe in the vaccine." He says like, "Me and my lovely bride believe in the vaccine," which I was like, "Cool, okay."
Wow, what a stance to take.
Huh. Yeah, I'm also like, "How the fuck did you get the vaccine?"
Right.
I'm sorry, you essential bitch. You got a yacht to take out ASAP. But anyway, so all right, let's keep going. So Dolores leaves, jumps off the boat, but then poor second engineer Zach goes and grabs her, and he radios Captain Lee, and Captain Lee's like, "God damn it, son of a bitch! She's cocoa for," or he says she's cuckoo
she's
for cocoa
cuckoo.
Puffs.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Then he's like, that reminds me, I need my cocoa puffs for breakfast. He always has cereal for breakfast. He's just so basic.
I got it. This is the wording of his tweet. Okay, this is the last thing I'm saying about this. Ugh. I didn't make any political post, have not, and never will. So if you want to keep kicking this dead horse, do so, but I'm done. Thanks for the support. Now, I think you'll notice in that tweet, he says, I didn't make any political post. And guess what? No one is accusing him of making a political post. This is classic deflection.
Yeah.
Where he says he didn't do something that no one is accusing him of, and then he won't take any more questions. I can't even clarify. Be like, so you didn't like the post?
Right.
Oh, I'm done. I said I was done.
No more questions. I got
it's
the
not
vaccine.
Political. No, but your like indicates a sentiment that you agree with what was said in that. So in that there you are communicating some kind of idea, Dr. Captain Lee.
My lovely bride says I have to put the phone down now, okay?
How many times I gotta say this? The fucking Chinese communist hacked my goddamn Twitter and liked that bullshit. Now move the fuck on.
Yeah.
It's a fucking witch hunt. It's like, okay.
Well, anyway, so, so Izzy and Ash are telling the rest of the crew that James and Elizabeth were cuddling in their room, and Francesca's like, cheese and rice, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it. And then she bitches to Eddie about it. And Eddie clearly doesn't really give a fuck. He's just like, I guess I'm in a manager position now, so I'll pretend like I give a fuck. And she's like, I'm going to go talk to Captain Lee about it. And he's like, well, actually, probably it's very clear because you're you and we've all watched these episodes. You have something out for Elizabeth and you're on a warpath to get her fired. And it is not chill to take your shit to the captain like that, because he's going to be like, if I have to do your job, then why do I have you? So Eddie convinces her not to do that and offers to talk to them with her. To me, I'm kind of like, this is kind of a non-issue. You just pull one aside and be like, hey, man, when we're on charter and people need to sleep, don't have people in your room unless you're rooming together.
Fuck after the charter.
Yeah, that's all. It's not like we're going to have a sit down meeting. It's like there are two consenting adults who trying to fuck. Whatever.
But, you know, everyone's always going to hate when you're, like, jerking off and then somebody has someone to have sex with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, they got to.
Yeah, aren't you embarrassed to, like, get in the way of two people fucking? Like,
that's
are you embarrassed to be such a lame nerd?
For me personally, it would have been the stench. I would have been like, hey, man, we got to talk, bro. You can't be fucking up the cabins like that.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. Okay, you can fuck you know, fuck it. Take a jet ski, you know, and fuck in the middle of the ocean or something. Come back. Do what you got to do. But don't fuck up the rooms like that, because that's an issue.
Yeah, and no one knows when they're the one making the... You ever, like, had sex, then gone to the bathroom, and then come back into the bedroom, and you were like, that was me?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
Odor blindness. Yeah. You don't know your own stench. It's like when you stink like your BO. Like, half the time, you're like, oh, shit, right, okay. I'm aware of it now, but nobody knows their own stench.
I do think if it had been Ash, Francesca wouldn't have given a fuck. It's because it's Elizabeth, and she has it out for Elizabeth.
Of course. No one respects Francesca's decisions regarding Elizabeth.
No, because it's at first it was like, yeah, it makes sense. Elizabeth's a dummy. She made a fucking mustard gas bomb. Makes sense. You got to be like, girl, you got to fucking pay attention. Then after a while, it just becomes like she doesn't lay off. Like, it keeps getting more and more. Like, Elizabeth's just trying to confide in her friends about her struggles. And Francesca's like, how dare you try and not hold it all in until you explode?
I want to do like a Clockwork Orange thing where we have to pry Francesca's eyes open. And then we make a supercut. Then we go and edit a supercut. She has to sit there like that for a while. Then we go edit a supercut of Elizabeth's reactions to Francesca being a total fucking bitch to her, and how sweet Elizabeth is and how much she's trying to keep it together. And I think that would break her heart. It has
You want
to
just hook her up and give her the Ludovico treatment, basically?
Yeah, what's that?
The thing from Clockwork Orange, are they?
Well, I already said Clockwork Orange. I don't think anyone was.
That's right, for the hardcore. Yeah. Oh, the Ludovico technique?
We gotta move forward.
This man knows Clockwork Orange. Get the boys in here.
Okay, anyway, Francesca says the guests are a lot nicer now that Dolores is gone, and she thinks it's because Captain Lee basically threatened them, so now they're, like, afraid to act up, because the day before they were all yelling all the different things at the same time, and now they're all like, all right, so should we have lunch?
They're like, may I have a glass of water?
Yeah.
Oh, having all that champagne? Y'all was fucking okay.
Yeah, no. They drank it all on the first night.
Yeah.
And one person jumped off the boat and had to be kicked off for good. There's a lot of tension between James and Izzy because she's cranky and tired and sick, and James made the room smell like fuck shit. And Rob is such an interesting character to me because he has no chance of surviving the reality TV sphere. And I do hope he goes back into the forest soon and recovers. He's like trying to ease the tension. He's like, is there tension here or what? And everyone's like, shut the fuck up, Rob. And he's like, sorry.
Like, I'll go back to Canada. Sorry.
I didn't mean to speak up. Really,
you say one thing ever, Rob, and it's this. Shut up.
It's that or you're in love with James. We're fucking done with you, bro.
I know.
The fuck is this?
He's only ever like, Francesca's putting off some very steamy vibes. And he's like, but I don't know how to talk to her because I don't know anything. And you're like,
so I'll just love James. Yeah, James and I have a budding love.
James is like, sorry, man. What's your name again? Like, literally, it's just so one-sided. James is not picking up on the vibes. So anyway, Izzy's like really sore and tired, but then she gets to go horseback riding with the guests later that day. And she says she grew up as a weird horse girl, which I'm like, I can see it. But she's come a long way because most horse girls, i.e. Amanda Knox, just get worse over time. But Izzy seems to have really just come around. I don't know. Look, I'm going based off the horse girls I knew in my life who were just like kind of stuck up and mean and kind of shitty. But I like Izzy.
They came
so.
from some fucked up families. Okay, so.
Okay, sure. But I like Izzy. And she says she begged her parents to buy her a horse. And so she really loves horses and says they're gentle giants, just like her.
Mm. How tall is she? Like 6 feet?
She's definitely tall. I don't know exactly, but she's a tall lady. She might be taller than James.
So she'd be a middle blocker in volleyball.
Oh, yeah. Okay, height, sure. In volleyball reason. Terms. Okay.
Yeah, man. Used to go to the Davis tournament a lot, man.
Oh, nice. So Eddie tells James to keep work and pleasure separate and to be nicer to Izzy. And James is like, yeah, maybe I'll pay you a compliment later. And I'm like, wow, man. Wow, this guy is nice.
Next level psychology right there.
Well, do you remember when he was hanging out with Elizabeth that night on the Bird's Nest? And he's like, you into psychology?
Yeah, yeah. Love psychology. Love poetry. Dude. That supercut of their like budding love conversation was so funny because it truly reminded me of like some freshman year of college game type shit, like game I was running. Like, oh, dude, you fuck with poetry? Oh, that's so cool. Like,
yeah, he's a classic.
You like slanted rhymes?
Shag lord. Slanted. That's so stupid.
Have you ever so like just so rigid in like their adherence to this sort of like aim rhyme scheme or like AB or whatever? Yeah. I just love slanted rhymes. I think it's just so much freedom to express yourself. Anyway, let's have sex.
That's class. Yeah, that's
underneath
James.
This Leon the Professional poster.
Oh, God. You just described my nightmare. Well, okay. Oh, and then Rob. Okay, every time Rob says something, it's so strange. He's like, I really like James. I used to have two older brothers, but one of them zipped me up in a suitcase and left me in a park. And then they're like, cut away. And I'm like, what the fuck?
What? No ending to that?
Every time he talks, he says,
well, maybe
some wild
that's why
shit.
He wants to be in the middle of nowhere, right? Wasn't that?
No, yes, definitely. He's hiding from that brother who's trying to clearly fucking kidnap him.
He hates boats, actually. It's just like the only thing that offers him safety.
Yeah, he was the guy who said that if he wasn't on the boat, it's better than being like in the middle of an open field or something. Whatever his only other thing.
Well, because other times he was doing like sailboats that were like for like exploration, like just hardcore boat shit. And now
looking
he's
for
like,
gold.
Oh, cool. I'm like, I'm like hosing off an anchor chain and then like falling in love with this man from the UK. What a life.
Elizabeth? Yeah. Oh. Right.
Francesca. No, he's just like, and I get to shower. It's like, oh, dude, are you okay? Like, do you need help?
Well, it's funny too, because I think the other reason is he's putting everything into perspective and it's not making him like a toxic character. You know what I mean? So like comparatively, we're like, what's wrong with him?
Yeah.
You're all like, this is great. Compared to other things I've done, this is absolutely wonderful. I couldn't see how anyone would complain. Hi, I'm reasonable and well-intentioned. And we're like, get him off.
Yeah. He's a fucking weirdo. Yeah.
He doesn't have a personality.
Fucking robot.
Which in reality, he has the most personality because everything he says gives you layers to him. Yeah. Like, remember the photo of him with like the fur and the like fireman's cap with a bunny doll? Like, what? They posted that so out of context. And he's like, I used to be a nerd and play
Oh, that's why he's
Dragons.
In the middle of a field. That's what he wears to raves.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, okay, field raves. Yeah. Okay.
He's just an interesting guy, and I would like to know more about him, but we'll see. Rob just keeps going on and on about him and how him and James are meant to be drawn together like magnets and how they're meant to be together and how the connection just grows deeper and deeper every day. And I just don't have it in my heart to be like, James is going to ghost you. And Eddie, classic Eddie moment. He's making fun of the guests and being like, they're like Mumsy and Pumsy walking around the yacht club. And he's like annoyed that Karen, one of the guests, Karen's hit the boat when she came back in with her jet ski. Cause like, instead of putting the brake on, she revved the throttle. And he's like, of course it was Karen. Of course it was Karen. And it's like, dude, they're rich drunk people. That's on y'all for giving them jet skis.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
They did rent them.
Who?
I mean, the jet skis. They rented the boat with the
jet skis. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
On.
It's like
whatever you want.
It is what it is.
It's not my job. So you lose a mirror. I'm sure it was that $40.
Yeah, $40.
Fix your mirror is fine.
We should call up Dolores Yetsky to see how much that mirror would cost. So they're having a seafood extravaganza that night for dinner. And Rachel is just like, I love the word extravaganza. Extravaganza! Extravaganza! Extravaganza!
Okay, so in addition to drinking, chefs are also known for doing some yay. Do you think that has anything to do with what's going on here?
No, her personality is just like on a 10 at all times.
I'm trying to even picture that, and it just gives me so much anxiety.
Like, Rachel plus cooking.
Yeah, I'm like, no. We don't need to do all that. I'm
God,
just like,
imagine, that Rachel that was trying to sing with the band, that Rachel was given cooking.
That Rachel needs to go to culture jail.
Oh, my God. So many different kinds of jail.
Yeah, she could be in every kind of niche jail I can think of right now.
And whatever the jail, she would rule that kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Anywhere she goes. That's by default. But yeah, like, especially, like, you know, she's going to go to don't touch a band's instruments jail, don't walk up on stage jail. Like, there's just a lot of violations occurring with her.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on with that band, because it looked like there was just a place for a lead singer and no one standing there. And
I think they walked off, but I'm sure they are so used to white people walking up and being like, I'm going to sing.
Or like, I play drums. Can I play? Like, no, motherfucker.
Because they were just staring blankly at her face like, miss.
Because I think they were trying to do the thing where they're like, somebody come get her.
Yeah.
But like without having to be like, hey, get the fuck out of here. Because then that would unfortunately somebody be a bad look for them.
Somebody come get her. We don't want her to be here. We lost our lead singer. He's over there.
All right. On that note, let's take another quick break. We'll come back and finish this episode out.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. So the guests would love to have Captain Lee at their seafood extravaganza dinner. And he's like, I really don't want to, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's why they pay me the big bucks, because of my ability to suck it up.
My ability to sit down and eat 18 pounds of fresh seafood. Wow. How are you doing this, bud?
That's you, why they pay me.
A dedicated conservative willing to sit down with these other rich conservatives. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, but I'm going to suck it up.
There's lots of pro Captain Lee Below Deck podcasts out there, all right? We don't got to be one.
Oh, people are pro Captain, or I mean, just like no matter
oh
what.
Oh my God.
Like,
everybody loves Captain Lee.
Oh my God. Everybody's dad was bullshit.
Everyone's for
like,
sure.
You will be my replacement dad. Captain Lee, tell me what to do.
I think it's also low key like Stockholm Syndrome because he's been on the show for so long and such a staple of what Below Deck is. So people can't see beyond that anymore.
We had the Watch What Crappens guys on, and they said that Captain Lee had been to multiple shows of theirs. And I think it was part of like conventions, not so much like. They just went and saw him at Dynasty or something, or he just, you know, just showed up. But that baffles me, you know, that's never going to happen for us.
Well, I also do. And to give some context, Dynasty is a theater in L.A., a comedy theater. But I do think Captain Lee is a nice guy. Like, I think he enjoys like the fans and kind of like what Below Deck has created for him. Like, I think he's only really an asshole when he's on the job and has to like be in charge of people's lives on a boat. Like, I think off the boat, like, he's a pretty like decent, nice guy based off what I've seen on his Instagram. Again, I don't know. I don't have any proof of anything.
Okay. Yeah.
But
he seems like he's good
at being
a celebrity. Let
me see how a lunch between you and Captain Lee goes.
Oh, it would go so poorly. It would go
Didn't you do that fucking podcast?
Yeah.
I heard about you.
I'd be like, so how come at every review or at every reunion, you just kind of be like, I think my chief steward, head of whatever, dealt with it the correct way and take no accountability for what's going on around you on your boat? Huh? Why is it conveniently no one tells you anything, but it's because you created a system where if anyone tells you anything, you get angry that you have to babysit them. So people are scared to tell you anything's going on the boat because God forbid you'd have to get involved because then you'd have to babysit them. And God forbid Captain has to babysit someone. Why did he hire you if he has to pay attention to the sexual harassment that's going on the boat?
Uppercut.
Okay.
Perfect.
And again, I do think Captain Lee is a nice guy. I do think there are clearly some blind spots in this show in how certain situations are treated, like sexual harassment.
This episode shows us again that the list of things that get you kicked off the boat never includes sexual harassment.
No,
they're only things that Captain Lee specifically gives a lot of shits about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a personal choice.
Yeah,
CBD.
And also, she had THC. But what is so scary or dangerous about swimming at night? I don't understand what's going
on
in the water at night.
Because of lack of visibility, you don't know, like, people can get pulled in, like, sucked in. I mean, it is actually very dangerous to swim at night. I really don't recommend that, especially if you've been drinking.
I'm doing it. Oh, I'm going to drink too.
Oh, yeah. Join Nick and I on. We're chartering a boat to the deepest waters and we're going night swimming.
Goodbye.
Yeah. I'm diving off.
In the Bermuda Triangle. He ain't scared.
Okay.
So join us. Join us on the TDZ cruise this year.
No.
Straight to the Bermuda Triangle. Fact or fiction?
All right. We got to finish this.
Hey, you guys ever think about doing a TDZ cruise?
No.
Oh, I always have.
I think it's a good idea.
It's a super spreader event.
Ew. Yeah. That's a cesspool waiting to happen.
I'm like, it's the worst shit for the earth. It's diabolical, but there's something about a thing where you don't leave and there's a breakfast buffet. Honestly, I think I could like switch out a cruise for anything. It's just the fact that there's anything with a breakfast buffet that if I wake up at a semi-reasonable hour, I can load up a plate full of just colon destroying foods. Mm-hmm. Fine. Doesn't really have to be a cruise, actually. So
All right. So
yeah, I guess just go to Denny's.
Yeah.
Eddie,
but it's not a buffet. You could just, you know what I mean?
You could buy, you could probably buy two dishes.
Make it replace that. Yeah, maybe. I'll think about it.
So Eddie and Francesca call a meeting with Elizabeth and James to scold them for fucking. And Eddie says that he has to now give advice about hooking up on a yacht when he was once the guy hooking up on a yacht. And then they show flashback footage of Rocky, which I don't think he expressively says, but he gaslit Rocky. Anyway, it ends
and
with James.
The footage that they showed of Rocky was so weird.
It was just
it
her
wasn't
and her
them
mermaid.
Interacting. Yeah, it was her. It was her writhing around on the deck in a mermaid costume with just no context.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's. I feel like that's a good explanation
what
of
she
who
was.
Rocky
yeah, okay.
is. Like she was just a mermaid who fell into the grasp of Eddie.
Aren't we all?
No, I would never. Everyone finds Eddie so attractive. I find him to be such a little fuck. So anyway, the meeting ends with James basically asking Elizabeth out on a date and saying that the secret is out. They're dating. And I'm like, wow, that's surprising because I thought he was going to fuck her over. We still have time.
He is fucking her over.
Well, yeah, it does. It did seem like out of nowhere he likes her.
Yeah.
It did not seem like that at all. And then he's like, you want to go on a date? And then in his ITM, he's like, you know, she likes me. I like her. You know, like what? There's nothing else going on here. It's like, no, she was kind of obsessed with you and you never said one thing about her. And we were all leading to she was about to get her heart broken.
Yeah. Well,
so don't pretend like that didn't happen.
He's also like, she likes psychology. So keep her.
And poetry. You know, that slanted rhyme.
Yeah. Yeah. So Captain Lee is killing time before he has to go to dinner because he's just like wants to show up at the last minute and get out of there ASAP. But actually, Rachel is making a delicious-looking seafood extravaganza for dinner. I, last night, when I was watching this, I was like, God damn, I would love to be there, eat that extravaganza. Yeah.
God damn, I need workers to exploit.
I love those little cast iron pans. God damn it. They're
I was
so
thinking
fucking
that.
Cute.
Yeah. And then he's like, this seafood extravaganza definitely got the vaganza. I'm like,
yeah, and I was like, what? Yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry. Can you explain that turn of phrase, Captain?
I don't know where I am right now.
It's because the lobsters look like vaginas.
Oh okay, Captain Lee. What?
And I hold them. I spread the lips a little, and then I just go straight.
Then I go to town biting the shit out of it, you know, vaganza style.
Do you want to be in a threesome with my lovely bride?
Yeah. My lovely bride. That's a bunch of just lobster carcasses.
Yeah, Captain Lee, bride. Do you even know your wife's name?
Yes. LB.
Vaganza.
It's hey. That's her name.
Jesus. We do know her name. It is Marianne, and she was once a chief stew, and she's very lovely based off that one time she came
that's
on board.
Right. Their love
Marianne,
story.
Grab that portrait of Lincoln. I'll meet you in the rotunda.
What?
I broke this fucking piece of Chuck Schumer's chair off. I'm going to stab him with it.
God.
Oh, Captain.
Oh, my God. You guys.
Oh, no, officer. I found these zip ties. I was looking for you to give them back.
Okay,
is there
okay,
a recycling
right.
bin around here
okay.
for me to throw them away in?
Okay. Okay. That's okay. We've gone too far.
Why the hell would I be here for that? I'm a fucking yacht captain. I had no idea this was happening. I'm here to lobby the Senate to expand the below deck format internationally so I can exploit the intellectual property rights on a global scale. What
was
the
this
fuck
not
is going
a good day?
Here? I'm not political.
Although I could believe that in that other part, he literally had no idea. He seems either like the most engaged or the most disengaged person.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's an extreme to one side or the other.
He doesn't seem engaged enough to me to know what he was doing. Like, I'm sure he saw a post that he thought the message was like good, but he just didn't realize like
know.
The context in a way. Because he just
no,
doesn't
it was
like-
a story. It was an Instagram story of a plane, and then they were like, "We're going to DC." Yeah, I read you the thing. It's not.
Oh,
it wasn't
really?
Confusing.
Oh, it was like.
It was, we're going January 6th. We're going to DC. We're all on the plane. A bunch of patriots here. And then he liked it. A person
he
follows.
I don't like that. I don't like that. All right. Well, yeah. Rachel hates James.
It was Instagram.
She fucking hates
Twitter.
James. Rachel like is like, fuck James. I fucking hate that guy. All he does is stand around and look pretty. He ain't got shit going on. I don't like that Elizabeth's fraternizing with him. Like, it's so funny that she just like has fixated on how much she hates James. And now there's all of a sudden like drama because Francesca told Elizabeth to go rest her leg. And Elizabeth does that. But then like she gets in trouble for not telling Francesca that she was going to go do that. And I don't know what's going on, but Francesca hates Elizabeth.
Yeah, it was when she was like, don't talk when I'm talking. I was like, okay, fool.
Yeah.
You're fully on the power trip and you're tripping.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I like this show is relatable in a way, because you're like, God damn it, it reminds me of someone I used to work with.
Yeah.
Who was way too charged up on the little bit of responsibility they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like started making my blood boil. And then also like having to watch Elizabeth like just eat shit and be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I won't talk back to you. Because like she's like, because I need the job. So, okay, I will endure this abuse. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Captain Lee, I just looked up, follows 325 people on Instagram, which is a very small, very curated list. He has over 500,000 followers. He follows 300. And one of them that was this conservative. You know who he doesn't?
It's a variety of opinions.
Here's what really concerns me. He does not follow The Rock.
Oh, God.
Okay, you know what? We got to move on. So Francesca is also trying
to
chat.
You can't ride the middle of the road. No one's better at riding the middle of the road than The Rock. The Rock is doing
it
right.
He's a spy. He's not following The Rock for his cover as a captain.
Come on, man.
God damn it, Lee. I knew it.
Francesca is trying to chat up Rob, but it's going nowhere because he's so awkward. And she's like, so do your parents live in Canada? And he's like, yeah. She's like, God fucking damn it. And she says she's not into it because it's very hard to have conversation with him. And it's the next day.
Guys, we'll be right back after this.
No. We're going to jam through the rest of this so we can finish up. So Izzy is still sick. So Eddie puts her down because she needs to recover. And Captain Lee says they're going to put her in a guest room tonight because they need to isolate. And they don't think it's coronavirus because there aren't any cases on the island yet. But we need to take precautions.
But we also aren't testing, really.
Well, we also don't really understand the magnitude of what's about to happen
also,
in this country.
I clearly don't understand what quarantining is. It's not an afternoon in a different room.
Well, I mean, she could still come to the yacht club and infect a lot of people. Don't worry about it. So the guests are leaving. They're like, you guys did a great job. Okay, bye. Because they don't want to talk about Dolores. And Eddie says James can take Elizabeth out on a date. No problem. Because what does he give him? No, who gives a fuck? It's tip meeting time. Captain Lee's like, wow, everyone really handled the charter well, even though shit went down.
It would be funny if he's like, no, you can't go on a date. You have to go hang out with drunk Rachel.
I know. No. So they get the day off tomorrow and they get to go to a beach club called Catherine's to chill the fuck out. And we also learn that they got a $16,790K tip.
If I'm looking for a good convent, I'm going to Catherine's. If I'm looking to hang out on the beach, I don't know if Catherine's is a great name.
Took a setup that like that setup time, but we got there. Yeah. Hell yeah. St. Catherine's Convent, great. St. Catherine's Beach Club. Catherine, yeah, because like it's basically Kathy.
Yeah,
you
what
know,
the
like,
fuck
where'd you go?
About?
Kathy's?
I went to I was at Karen's. I thought you said meet at Karen's
Kathy
Yacht Club.
Yeah.
Isn't that what she said? The cartoon trick?
Kathy.
Ack.
Ack, that's what it is. Eek. Ack, whatever
so,
the fuck.
They think that Dolores was supposed to kick in some cash for the tip, but they got rid of her. So she was like, no thanks. Francesca surprisingly chill that Elizabeth and James are going out on a date. And then so James plucks his eyebrows and gets ready for his date. And they go to some restaurant. And that's where we learn that James says he only knows what an eggplant is because of the emoji. I expect nothing less. And then back on the boat, everyone's just chilling and drinking. And Rachel dares Eddie to go do a goat call on the deck. And of course he does it because this is what fucking Eddie lives for. Okay. Eddie lives to make
improv
people laugh.
Comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, he lives for sketch.
He lives improv. For suggestions.
Yeah.
He really does, because he does it so quick.
That isn't
quick.
Food. That's not food, guys. No food suggestions.
Yeah, and he's like, or whatever. That sounds like a donkey. But he is so quick to be like, I'm sorry, performance? You know that's what Eddie's here for. And then Elizabeth and James come back to the boat, and they go to a guest cabin to fuck. We hear her being like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think I might be able to make a super Ooh, cut of all of Eddie's impressions on this show and get him hired at SNL.
Oh, my God. Please don't do that. That's not worth your time. All right. It's the next day again. We've had a lot of days on this episode. This episode's 15 minutes longer, so we really got to wrap it up. So Rachel says she doesn't get hangovers because she keeps the party going and she's still drunk from the night before. She's like, wakes up like wasted. She's like,
she's a monster.
Yeah. She's a beast. Good for her. Chefs are just next level, man. I don't know what that brain chemistry is, something we should study.
Well, like when you don't ever, you know, if you work in a restaurant, you don't have a Friday or a Saturday ever.
Right.
So your Friday and Saturdays come after service, or you're drinking through it and then you party at the end and then you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like it's just, they're, the social schedule of chefs is so unique. But yeah, more power to them.
Uniqlo.
For giving us the
will.
Delicious food.
Uniqlo. So they let Izzy come, even though apparently she's so sick, but it's totally cool if she comes to a day club. As long as she lays down the whole time and doesn't drink, I'm like, that doesn't stop droplets from spreading. I'm a germ spreading expert now that I've lived through a pandemic. Okay. Rachel is wasted already at the beach club and just chugging espresso martinis, which now I'm learning is a very dangerous thing. Espresso martinis? What the fuck?
Yeah.
She's like, and
people
then I remember.
Love them.
Early on, she's like, you just keep drinking and you don't get tired. And I'm like, that's yikes, dude. Let's take that away from her.
Yeah.
She's the type of person who blacks back in and has blood on her hands, you know?
Right. And then she said, like, she was invited to kill that person.
Or she just goes, well, that was weird. And then just washes her hands, never thinks about it again, does not acknowledge any of the consequences of what she's done, because who cares? She can't remember. That's Rachel.
That's all this skin under my fingernails.
That's just me. I'm Rachel. I just keep the party going. I just
and
wash my hands.
I don't do hangovers, honey. I don't get hungover. I'm like, oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Because
I've never stopped drinking.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you avoid a hangover, to just keep going forever.
Yeah.
So that's when Rachel.
I think you're on to something, Anna. Holy shit, I'm writing that down.
Yeah. Rachel is just laying down and screaming and babbling on her lounger, and then she slowly awakens to find that there's a stage and music playing and an open mic. So she just walks, not literally open mic, the mic just doesn't have anyone in front of it. So she walks up, she's like, tells the band, she's like, I want to play some dirty ass shit. Okay, let's play some nasty, nasty shit. And then she starts being like, titties into the mic.
What was the song she demanded they start
playing? That's right. So Francesca tries to go get Rachel off the stage, but Rachel tells the man, I want to do Walking After Midnight. Google it. Let's go.
Oh,
which is
yeah.
the
oh,
funniest thing.
Google it.
Google it. Let's go.
Ma'am, like, we don't have phones on us. We don't have anywhere to put them while we play the instrument.
So the deal is, you walked in on us between sets. We're an actual fucking band with songs we play.
So
this isn't a human karaoke.
So the consequences for us not doing that are what now?
Well,
oh boy.
My new favorite line, I'm going to start saying that. Walking After Midnight, Google it, let's go. That's my new favorite thing. I'm going to start saying Google it, let's go. Because that is so fucking out of, like, who the fuck do you think you are? Google it. Let's go. Anyway, but Francesca's like, no, no, girl, we got to get off stage. And Rachel's like, fuck you. Fuck you. And she turns to the band and she's like, sorry, I have to be an asshole. And then Francesca slowly escorts her away. And Eddie's like, she broke the two rules of yachting. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass the crew. And I'm like, Eddie, shut up. But anyway, that's the end of the episode.
I should know because I've embarrassed myself. And I've embarrassed the crew.
And my family.
Yeah.
My future family.
All of my descendants. They're going to change their names.
All right, it's time for Boat Facts with Nikki Tees.
Boat Facts with Nikki Tees. Guys, I know you're always wondering what happens when my boat sinks, you know? I know you, every TDZ cruise I've ever been on, the boat is sunk.
Oh, yeah.
And so how do we swim back to Florida? That's the question. What's the fastest way? You know, there are four popular swimming strokes that are used competitively. What are they? Let's name them. Freestyle.
Freestyle. Butterfly.
Butterfly, backstroke.
Breaststroke. There we go. That's them. That's them right there.
Okay.
Now, the question is, order them from fastest stroke to slower stroke. All right. Let's go.
Fastest. I would say backstroke. Wait. Oh, no. Breaststroke is fastest.
Okay.
Then followed by freestyle.
Okay.
Butterfly, then backstroke.
Okay. Anna?
What he said.
Okay. Well, the fastest is freestyle. It shouldn't be a big surprise.
Okay.
I thought maybe you got more out of doing this shit when you're like,
yeah, that's what I thought too.
Actually,
it feels like more intense.
No, that's not even number two.
Mm.
So yeah, freestyle number one. Butterfly number two. That was a surprise. Then breaststroke, then backstroke.
Okay. So backstroke is the slowest.
Yeah.
That's too bad because backstroke's the one I'm best at. I'm going
that's
out of nowhere.
No, but that's like, I think, one of the most finessed ones, isn't it? Like backstroke is actually like, it's like of the techniques to do. You got to be really on top of your shit to do that, right? Don't you?
Yeah, well, you got to know where you're going. You got to know which direction you're going.
I could just be saying that because I feel like I saw a gif of somebody doing a backstroke with a water bottle on their forehead the whole time. And I was damn.
Let's just say I can't do that.
This actually might be the best one to flee a sinking ship with because it requires the least amount of breathing. Like, your breathing isn't restricted when you're on your back.
I think that's why I liked it the most growing up, taking swim lessons and swimming and stuff. I like that one because I'm not a fan of breaststroke because I'm just kind of like, I feel like I'm just drowning. Just a thought.
Okay. Anyway, that's Boat Facts with Nikki T. Hit me up on my socials. I'll see you guys next week.
All right. That was Boat Facts and Nikki T's. Thank you so much. Miles, where can people follow you and listen to you? And thank you again.
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray, Daily Zeitgeist, 420 Day Fiance at your local dispensary. Asking if you want to just break me off a couple nugs so I can hit a blunt real quick.
Hell yeah. Thank you again for recapping Season 8, Episode 11 with us. We really appreciate you coming back as our first repeat guest. Please let us know if you know anyone else who watches the show. Also, you can follow us at DeckheadsPod on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us at DeckheadsPod@gmail.com. I'm at Anna Hosni and Nick is at Nick's Turners. And guess what, bitches? You can leave us a 5-star review today on Apple's iTunes. Please, we could use it. People hate us, which is kind of cool in a way. We've almost become kind of a cult figure. Ooh, catch us on Criterion. Anyway, so yeah. Also, we have merch. Nick won't let me plug it, though, because he's creating his own merch program. So
you got to give me this image.
Link in bio. All right, guys. Thanks again. We're all going to hop onto this tiny little boat and get out of here. Goodbye.
Deckheads is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them?
And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame starting May 7th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.